Hello, Pittsburgh. I'm Zach Gibson, and this is TribLive's From the Newsroom podcast, bringing you top stories from TribLive.com. This Monday, various individuals belonging to anti-hate groups and organizations came together at the David L. Lawrence Convention Center for the 2024 Eradicate Hate Global Summit. Among these summit attendees were Tree of Life survivors and their families. They participated in a panel focused on the importance of sharing their stories of survival. Here to tell us about her summit experience and the impact of the survivors' stories is TribLive reporter Megan Swift. Hi, Megan.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining. So let's get into the story. Tell me about the Pittsburgh Summit at the David L. Lawrence Convention Center.
Yeah, it was at the Convention Center. A lot of rooms were occupied by the summit. There were a lot of events going on. And this specific panel that I went to that had the Tree of Life survivors and their families was in the big ballroom there at the Convention Center downtown.
Can you tell me about some of the organizations that were together on this panel that you sat in on?
Yeah, so the panel discussion was focused on emphasizing the importance of sharing survivors' stories, and it featured the co-founders of REACH, which stands for Remember, Educate, and Combat Hate. REACH is comprised of survivors and family members who lost loved ones in the October 27th, 2018 attack in Squirrel Hill on the Tree of Life Synagogue. Members of the initiative, which is part of the 1027 Healing Partnership, have spoken at schools in the Western Pennsylvania area and beyond, educating students on anti-Semitism and sharing their stories.
So the facilitator for this panel was Maggie Feinstein. She is the executive director of 1027 Healing Partnership. Can you tell me about what she had to say during the panel?
Yeah, so she introduced the panelists and she told the audience listening that this year has seen the largest number of anti-Semitic incidents on record, a 200% increase that has, quote, brought a real sense of urgency, as well as increased vulnerability in Jewish communities.
What other stats do we have to color this picture for our viewers?
There has been a spike of anti-Semitic activity in both the Pittsburgh region and nationwide, according to a previous story published in Trib Live, written by myself and my colleague Justin Bellucci back in March. It was prompted because Pittsburgh police had to increase patrols in Squirrel Hill after vandals defaced at least 10, quote, "We Stand With Israel" yard signs with images of bloody handprints. That's just one example of these incidents that have been happening around our city and around the country.
Okay. You've also spent a lot of time covering election-related news and the presidential candidates. In your reporting experience, what have you seen or heard in terms of addressing anti-Semitism and identity-based hate?
So over the past 2 months, I've covered numerous rallies on both sides of the aisle, and I've gotten to hear more about the different political platforms on both sides firsthand from both Donald Trump and Kamala Harris. Mm-hmm. There hasn't been too much talk about anti-Semitism specifically at these rallies, but something I remember from the Trump rallies is that he usually tells his audience that he is, quote, going to have the largest deportation operation in the United States if he is elected in November, which draws a lot of cheers from the crowd. The Republicans are very supportive of that. And then on the other side of the aisle, I had spoken with young voters in the Pittsburgh area, and many of them told me that they were supporting Kamala because she has had a very progressive stance on the war in Israel and is supportive of the Free Palestine movement. But that hasn't, I've not personally witnessed that being talked about by her in any of the rallies that I have attended.
Now, just from my own personal election following experience, it seems like I've seen everything that you're saying. Even with the Harris campaign, there are statements that she makes that I've seen appeal to more Palestinian sympathetic voters, even though it's not necessarily something she counts as a staple of her campaign. For former President Donald Trump, what he does make a staple is his deportation claims, specifically with his Johnstown rally and the conversation he had about the small towns and the immigration effects there, claims and conversations that could have been seen as inflammatory toward xenophobic sentiment with some of his supporters. Another thing that I've seen from the Harris campaign is what seems to be a strategic avoidance or non-emphasis on Vice President Harris's racial identity. As many people are aware, if she is elected, she would become the first Black woman president and the first president of Asian descent. This is something that back in 2008, we've seen a lot more heavily emphasized with Barack Obama's campaign and not so much in the Harris-Walz campaign.
Trump actually addressed Harris's identity in the annual gathering of Black journalists when he said that Harris has downplayed her Black heritage in the past. At that convention in July in Chicago, Trump said, quote, "She was always of Indian heritage and she was only promoting the Indian heritage. I didn't know she was Black until a number of years ago when she happened to turn Black and now she wants to be known as Black." Contrary to Trump's statements, however, as you mentioned, Harris has publicly identified as both Black and South Asian American.
Nothing directly addressed when it comes to eradicating hate on identity-based fronts from either side, though. It seems that on both sides of the aisle, there is an aversion or a strategy to avoid highlighting identity-based situations in America. So, moving back to the panel, in the course of combating hate in American society, Pittsburgh organizations like Reach and 1027 have made storytelling their weapon. Because nearly 6 years after the Tree of Life attack, the survivors found that healing comes through shared experience.
Yeah, so I got to hear from both numerous families and survivors on the panel, and then members of the media also got to talk to them one-on-one after to interview them further, ask follow-up questions from what they talked about in the panel. One person who did speak to the audience was Sharon Stein, who lost her husband, Daniel Stein, in the attack. She said she still finds it difficult to speak about the incident, and it took her almost 6 years now to find her voice and really speak out. She said, quote, "Even though it is very difficult and emotional for me, I must speak up and tell the story of that fateful day. I am now Danny's voice."
Now, throughout your interviews, you've met and heard about the experiences of many Pittsburgh residents. I'm sure they all have unique reasoning behind their decision to share their survival stories. What are some of the different reasons that they shared with you when it comes to the importance of sharing their stories?
Amy Malinger, her grandmother, Rose, was killed in a Tree of Life attack, and she spoke to the audience as well during the panel. She said her family loved to tell stories. When her grandmother was killed, her family continued that tradition by speaking to students at local school districts. She said, quote, "That's how we keep her stories alive. We are healing, and we are also helping them heal." Jody Cart, who lost her father, Melvin Wax, also spoke and said she wanted to figure out ways to honor her father and turn her, quote, "pain into something purposeful." She said, quote, "I knew I had a story to tell, and I didn't know how I was going to make that happen. Thanks to Reach, I found my opportunity."
Okay. So all of these various ways that people got to this point of sharing these stories as a means of combating hate led them to this panel. And this isn't the end-all be-all for these organizations. So how do organizations like Reach and 1027 plan to move forward and further their message of tolerance and civility?
Yeah, so I do want to bring in Audrey Glickman, who is a survivor of the Tree of Life attack. She said that sharing her story to groups of students at school districts and spreading the word brings her a sense of healing. She said, quote, "We didn't choose to be shot at. Having survived it, we have a reason to do what we're doing." Following the summit, I recently spoke to Nick Haberman, who is the founder of the Light Education Initiative. He currently works for the Allegheny Intermediate Unit as the inaugural coordinator of civic engagement and anti-hate education in partnership with the Tree of Life. Haberman spent the first 18 years of his career as a secondary social studies teacher, and he created Light as a program to transform classroom-based Holocaust remembrance into student advocacy and action for all victims of identity-based violence. That's according to his bio on the Eradicate Hate Summit website. I spoke with him because there's another story in the works just looking at how this has personally touched the Allegheny County school districts who attended the summit as part of the student summit, which was the day after this panel took place. And they work with their members from their school district that are invited, other students, to create initiatives to bring back to their schools to further this eradicate hate purpose and also make people more aware of anti-Semitism and the Tree of Life story. And finally, for Jody Cart, she said students who approached her after she speaks at these various events at schools around the Pittsburgh area, she said students approach her and want to know how people can even try to heal after such a horrific experience. She said, quote, having the ability to share that has been what's been most powerful and most meaningful to me. The message that I try to share with students is that we're all different. If I can get my message across to just one person and make them a little bit kinder, then I feel like I've accomplished my goal.
Okay. Well, Megan, thank you for coming on to talk about this panel and what you experienced there and the steps of these organizations to help further anti-hate movements in America.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining. If you enjoyed this week's episode, share the podcast to help keep Western PA locally informed with insightful discussion and the latest news from your area. It's an easy way to spread the word, and it helps our podcast reach more people like you. Don't forget to follow us on Spotify and turn on episode notifications so you never miss new content. Once again, I'm Zach Gibson, and this is From the Newsroom.